The Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA, is closer than ever to becoming law. Key Senate and House lawmakers have reached an agreement on that bill. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on what has to happen next for FITARA to reach the president. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I mean, judging from what happened last night, there might be a few other things to reach the president before this does, though, you might say, you think?
Well, you know, in many ways, this bill is going to be part of a broader package. So this is not going to be a big focus in the lame duck session. But what I heard from yesterday at the, you know, National Contract Management Association panel with several committee staff members, they seem pretty confident that this, you know, FITARA is going to move forward. Now, what happened basically was the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and the House Oversight and Government Reform Committees, these are the two main authorizing committees, they have been meeting over the last few months and really have ironed out their differences between the House version and the Senate version of FITARA. Now, of course, the administration still needs to get on board to a certain extent, too, and it's unclear how much they support it. But while details of what it's exactly in the bill is still hard to come by, we do know a few things. Rich Beutel is a senior advisor to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
There were some great ideas that fell by the wayside, but that's the way it goes. You know, when you're involved in negotiation, there's both give and there's take. And so a streamlined package is what we have now, and it's a consensus package from two A committees and two of the main oversight groups within Congress that really hones the pencil to a very sharp point, we think. The crown jewel, as far as I'm concerned, is enhanced CIO authorities, to give CIOs the actual legislative authorities and necessary ability to do a capable job. And this is a deficiency that's been identified going all the way back 4 years ago with what was called the 25-point plan that was put together by OMB under Vivek Kundra, who was the former federal chief information officer. There's also enhanced oversight provisions as well, but we now have a broad, I think, and very, very finely honed consensus package.
Beutel joined a panel of congressional staff members yesterday at the 33rd Annual Government Contract Management Symposium in Washington, as I mentioned, sponsored by NCMA. He and others, to be clear, were speaking on their own, not for the committee or for the members they represent. But he says the committee, Oversight and Government Reform in his case, has been working on this federal IT reform bill for more than 2 years. So there's a lot of excitement building that it could get to the finish line. Troy Cribb is the chief counsel for the majority side of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. She says some of the concerns that came up during the markup earlier this summer have or are being addressed.
It went through our committee fairly easily. Senator Levin did raise some concerns about how some of the provisions would be applied to the Department of Defense. And I think we understand that. DoD is unlike a lot of other agencies. They're doing a lot of unique things. They're a lot bigger. And, you know, so what my boss, Chairman Carper, said at the markup was we're committed to working with you and, you know, finding a resolution so that kind of everyone hits a sweet spot and we can address, you know, all of the civilian agencies and DoD and kind of do it in a way that's a good natural fit for all of them.
Now, she says FITARA would provide some legislative backing as well to OMB initiatives such as data center consolidation, portfolio stat, and tech stat reviews. She says the committee doesn't want those types of programs to fade as the years go on. Now, again, more specific details about the changes in FITARA between the House and the Senate aren't quite clear yet, partly because of the negotiations of the National Defense Authorization Bill are still not final, and then they won't be final until we get closer to a vote. But as far as Senator Levin's concerns about that you heard Ms. Cribb talk about, a DoD authorization does include a separate provision to address the DoD CIO authorities. In fact, the IT Alliance for Public Sector, or ITAPS, writes in an October blog that the provision would give the DoD CIO more authority and responsibility specifically around performance management issues and actually make it an undersecretary position. We have a link to that blog on federalnewsradio.com.
And so this law would strengthen CIOs and civilian agencies by making the department level the CIO the CIO, correct?
What's unclear is whether that stayed in or not. You know, Daryl Issa, the author from the House side, was very keen on saying there should only be one person with the title of CIO. Did that make it into the final bill? I don't know. The Senate bill, I don't think, had that same language, so we'll have to see how negotiations come out. But it is giving CIOs more budget authority, more authority over at least commodity IT, very similar to the memo that OMB put out several years ago.
And also that idea of the assisted acquisition centers of excellence, which were in the Daryl Issa version of the bill. Do we know whether that's in the Senate version yet?
Or again, you know,
is that another one we don't know yet?
That's another one we don't know yet because so much of it is still stuck in negotiations, or the NDAA actually is stuck in negotiations, so you don't know it's going to come out on that other side. As you heard Rich Beutel say, you know, that he thought the crown jewel was the CIO authorities. Beyond that, we don't really know too much of what came out from it. He gave a few other tidbits, such as strengthening program and project management certification. Some of the more stricter language in the House bill didn't get through, but he said there's some other good things in there to help the acquisition workforce.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. So what are the chances this is going to become law?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question still, but I think the chances are getting, the rate is getting higher, because remember, the House passed this bill twice, most recently as part of that defense authorization bill. The Senate Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee passed a standalone FITARA bill recently as well. So there's this, raging river going, okay, we can make it there. But then again, FITARA, both, it matters to what happens on the DOD bill. You know, and just as an aside about that DOD authorization bill, Congress has passed it 51 straight years. And, what's unclear is whether they'll make it 52. Jay Maroney is counsel to the majority on the Senate Armed Services Committee.
We take the consensus that the committees of jurisdiction have gone through, and then we put it through our sort of process of figuring out what we're willing to and able to support, since it's our bill. It sounds awful to say it that way, but it's kind of the reality that, and not just with FITARA, with a lot of different issues that we deal with, since we're a bill that traditionally 51 years has passed, we're a vehicle for all sorts of different legislative initiatives that we get. And at the end of the day, chairman and ranking have to accept that into the conference agreement for it to move forward. So there's the internal deliberations that come after that. And Troy and Rich have done great work and been incredibly receptive early on, starting pretty much at the end of conference last year, to our comments, our concerns, and to the department's comments and concerns, and I believe also to the civilian agencies.
Now, it's hard to get a read from Maroney on whether the SASC and HASC will keep FITARA in the NDAA. Remember, last year, the Senate ended up stripping it out. But things look good, and remember, two things also to keep in mind, Tom. Tom Carper, the chairman of the Homeland Security Governmental Affairs Committee, and Congressman Daryl Issa, the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, are both very influential within their separate houses. And another thing is, I've heard from several different people that, Daryl Issa wants a so-called crowning achievement before he gives up his chairmanship of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. So again, I think all these pieces are coming into place, so the likelihood of FITARA passing is good. Maroney says House and Senate committee staff members also have been pre-conferencing on the more broad DOD authorization bill over the last few months to iron out some of those differences. So I think we should know pretty quickly, once Congress comes back into session and starts working on NDAA, whether FITARA has a chance or not.
What about other acquisition reform issues that members of Congress are interested in? Anything else brewing out there?
Well, I think we all should expect a busy 2015 when it comes to legislation and reforms around acquisition. We got to start with the House and Senate Armed Services Committee's efforts around DOD acquisition reform. Maroney says there is a handshake agreement among members to make actually fiscal 2016 a big acquisition year, looking at broad reforms. In the meantime, they're going to work up to that 2016 date by doing more research and looking at other issues around acquisition. And in fact, the Government Accountability Office is scheduled to release a report in 2015 that has been working on reviewing the acquisition system, its processes, what's working and what's not. Now, on the House side, Beutel says there are several other IT acquisition areas that the committee will turn its attention to.
We'll be looking at basically the problems, impediments, and hindrances for the government's adoption of cloud computing. And so we have a project underway to look at what is going wrong with the cloud-first strategy, which was articulated 4 years ago, and why the government is not adopting and embracing this transformative technology. So just in a quick nutshell, we're looking at issues about the model for consumption-based pricing for cloud, which is very obsolete and outdated in the FAR. We're going to be looking at the qualification process for cloud service providers from a security and law enforcement perspective, and we're going to be looking at the impediments by the existing appropriations process to affect broader cloud transitions. So we're hip deep in cloud policy right now and looking to put together something going forward in the next 6 months to a year with broad engagement with stakeholder groups.
Abutel says he's also like to focus, or the committee will focus on certain aspects of acquisition, specifically around IT and services. And in fact, during the event yesterday, the NCMA crowd actually gave him a round of applause when he says maybe there needs to be a separate FAR for services, since now, you know, when you talk about what agencies buy, 67% of all their purchases are in the services realm. On the Senate side, Cribb says the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee had a quiet year in terms of legislation, spending more time on oversight in 2014. But for 2015, there's going to be some major changes. Right now, we know that the Senate went to the Republicans. You're going to see a new chairman and a new ranking member, potentially. Depends on what Senator Carper does. And other change on the committee itself. And she says you'll see more legislation. Specifically, they're looking at stuff like shared services and even vendor past performance and how to get that more consistent and more standardized. Improving the acquisition workforce is another area that the committee is focusing on. Cribb says it's hard to legislate improvements without the power of the purse, but the committee can use its bully bullpen to get the word out on the need for acquisition workforce. Tom, two other quick things that I'll highlight. The use of reverse auctions is getting attention, specifically in the House version of the Defense Authorization Bill. It has a provision that would prohibit the use of reverse auctions for any procurement where small businesses can compete, or for circumstances where only one bid is received when they thought they'd receive more bids. All members also of the panel yesterday said we support reverse auctions when appropriate, usually for commodity purchases, but in light of the recent Inspector General report from VA, where there was a lot of discussion around FedBid and the concerns around the use of reverse auctions, that they still are want to move slowly. In fact, Cribb says the Office of Federal Procurement Policy really needs to issue some guidance to agencies for when to use reverse auctions so there is clarity across government. So as you can tell, 2014 is just ending. 2015 is going to ramp up and be a very busy year for procurement.
Sure is. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.